In the third chapter of the book of Acts, we find the story of a lame man sitting at the temple at the gate called Beautiful, expecting to receive an offering from Peter and John. Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Pentecost proved to be a revolution in the despised, insignificant disciples of Jesus and in the lives of individual believers. The impact of Pentecost as a force destined to make history was manifestly at work. With the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the followers of Jesus began to be recognized as the church to which the Lord was adding numbers daily. On the contrary, having rejected their Messiah, having crucified their King, their Jewish religion was sinking fast. Their protests and persecutions against the young church were only the death struggles of a system from which the glory of God had departed. In the wake of the mighty move of the Holy Ghost, personalities was revolutionized. So-called revivals or awakenings that do not change individuals are not the normal Pentecostal pattern. They make little impact on society. The changes in these disciples was dynamic and revolutionary. The pre-Pentecostal picture of the disciples of Christ is not a pretty one. Aside from the fact that they had been chosen by our Lord, that their names were written in heaven, that they were clean through the word which he had spoken to them, and that he had prayed for them, there is little in their lives to provoke us to want to emulate them. Despite their close association with Jesus, they were carnal, proud, selfish, conniving, ambitious, and vindictive. Because of their unwarranted imagination about the coming kingdom, they carried on a running battle over who should be the greatest in the kingdom. Feelings ran high and were hotly expressed. This rivalry brought forth from Jesus a tactful rebuke, saying, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The state of affairs, sometime reaching proportions of a political dispute, continued on until Jesus was within only a few hours of the cross. There were times when these apostles manifested an attitude that was wholly foreign to the spirit of our loving Lord. For example, when they were rebuffed at a village of Samaria because it did not accept the offer of Jesus to visit there, they proposed calling down fire from heaven to consume the village. The disciples were often at variance with the purpose of Jesus because they were unable to appreciate them. When the multitude was hungry, they became impatient with the milling multitude, and unable to share our Lord's compassion for them, they told Jesus to send them away, with no thought of how many of them might faint along the way, for the hour was late, and they had followed him all day long and far from home. They became very indignant at Mary's lavish ado in wasting the costly ointment to anoint her Lord. They were outraged when they discovered that someone casting out devils in the name of Jesus because he was not part of their group, and restrained him. But Jesus rebuked them, saying, "Forbid him not." Peter demonstrated his own pitiful lack of spiritual depth when he presumed to rebuke the Lord, followed by his shameful denying and forsaken of Jesus. At one point, the scriptures relate that they all forsook him and fled. But Pentecost was a dynamic revolution. It made a difference. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.